Yeah, happiness. Topic is happiness. So if you're not happy, Bezrat Hashem, by the end of the class, you will be happy. You know the famous story. A couple will come to the rabbi, and the rabbi, they say, you know, Rabbi, we have problems having babies, and please give us a bracha. So the rabbi says, you know, give me your names, I'll put them on a piece of paper, and I'll put them in the kotel. I'm going to the kotel next week, and put them in the kotel. And sure enough, this couple becomes very prolific. And the rabbi didn't see them for 15 years. 15 years later, he sees the girl, the woman, at a party. And he says, no, I haven't seen you in 15 years. What's happening? He says, well, Baruch Hashem, we have 13 kids. And in fact, just 6 months ago, we had twins.
He said, tell me,
he says, so where's your husband? He said, well, I think he went to Israel. He's looking for that piece of paper. So anyway.
Very good.
But I wish it would be that simple, you know, some Baruch Hashem.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. So, one of the important skills a person's got to manage in their lives is the art of reframing everything. And that's a famous story of Nachum Ish Gamzu, right? Nachum Ish Gamzu. We all know Nachum Ish Gamzu. Gamzu, Letova. Even though it's bad. It looks like it's bad, but it's good. Nachum Ish Gamzu, you can reframe anything. You can reframe anything. With that attitude, Nachum Ish Gamzu, you can reframe anything. Anything which is bad can all of a sudden become
good.
Amazing. It's amazing. All you have to do is reframe it. All you have to do is give it a different adjective in your head. Everyone says it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. No, it's good. It's good, yeah? It's very good. Let's just talk about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he was a classic example of Nachum Ish Gamzu saying. Right? Rabbi Akiva can't find a rabbi to teach him Torah. He cannot find a rabbi to teach him Torah because he's too old. He goes to the yeshiva and ask him, what's your age? He says, I'm 40. And what do you know? I don't know anything. You know Alephbet? Don't know nothing. Well, we can't help you. I'm sorry. You got to find somewhere else to go. We can't help you. So he finds Nachum Ish Gamzu. How old are you? 40. He says, Gamzu Letova, that's good. It's good? Yeah. What do you know? Nothing. Gamzu Letova, that sounds good. Why? Yeah. Let's start with Alephbet. So it says, no one ever asked questions about the shape of the Alephbet. No one, because why? You learn Aleph Bet when you're a kid. And the rabbi says, that's an Aleph. You say, oh, Aleph, okay. Bet, Gimel, Gimel. I don't ask questions. Akiva asks questions. Why is the Aleph shaped like that? Now he knows, don't know. No one ever asked that question. So Rabbi Akiva wrote a book for us called Otiyot de Rabbi Akiva, which is an amazing sefer. And Art Scroll wrote a book, nice, very nice book on the Jewish alphabet, based on that book Rabbi Akiva wrote, because he didn't know. Okay. Next, he asks, Nachum Ish Gamzu, how come these letters have crowns on them? I don't know. No one ever asked the question. He says, for every crown, he learned thousands of laws. Rabbi Akiva learned thousands of laws for the crowns. And the Midrash tells us, amazing Midrash in Gemara Menachot, Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shamayim and he sees Hashem writing the Sefer Torah, right? He sees Hashem writing the Sefer Torah, and on the Sefer Torah he says, crowns. Tell the lady to come and sit, join us. Come and join us. She can sit. Give her a seat. Shri. He sees the Hashem writing crowns in the Torah. He says, why are you writing crowns? What are these crowns for? He says, don't worry. He says, there'll be a rabbi in 1,000 years' time who'll be able to explain thousands of laws from these crowns. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, who is this rabbi? I want to see him. So the first time it talks about time travel in the Torah. It's a very, very interesting. The Gemara says, in Menachot, the Gemara says, Hashem says, go behind me, whatever that means. And Rabbi Akiva, and Moshe Rabbeinu ends up in the shiur of Rabbi Akiva. Can you imagine? He ends up in the class of Rabbi Akiva, it says on the 8th row of the class. Because in those days, the greatest students would sit in the front. And every time a student would graduate, he'd move out, and then the students would move. They'd keep on moving. So they moved to the front of the class. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the 8th row. Imagine what kind of student he was. 8th row. And he's listening to the shiur of Rabbi Akiva. You see how Judaism had progressed at that time. There's already so many different changes. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what he's talking about. Moshe Rabbeinu is pretty upset. I don't know what he's talking about. This is Torah. What's going on over here? Until finally they ask Rabbi Akiva an answer. Rabbi Akiva says, Halacha la Moshe mi Sinai. It's halacha for Moshe mi Sinai. Phew, Moshe Rabbeinu is happy. But he says, listen, what's going on? I don't understand. So we see Rabbi Akiva, he didn't take things for granted. He started learning when he was 40. Why are the letters shaped like that? Why are these letters got crowns? And the third thing he did is every time it says the word et, kaved et avicha ve'et imecha, why does it say the word et? Really, you can speak without saying the word et so many times. So he would learn laws for every time it says the word et. So the three revolutions of Rabbi Akiva, based on the fact that he started at a very old age, starting to learn. So things we take for granted.
What does the et stand for?
Every et has a reason. You want to go to class on the ets? That can be arranged, different time.
Rabbi, where are the crowns on the letters?
The crowns are today. It's interesting. There are six letters that take. There are seven letters that take crowns. Shin, Ayin, Tet, Nun, Zayin, Shatnez.
Yeah.
Interesting. Getz, Gimel, Tzadi. Those are seven letters that take three crowns each. Usually on the left side of the letter. If you have left side and right side, it's always on the left side of the letter. So Shin, for example, is on the left side of the letter. The Nun is on. There's only one side. Shin Ayin has two letters. So therefore, it's the left side of the letter. So the crowns. What do the crowns represent? Famous Chavetz Chaim Mishneh Berurah. He says these crowns. He says are on the letters. Shatnez Getz. Shatnez is Satan Ez.
Satan what?
Ez is the goat, the scapegoat.
Yeah.
So he says we're trying to. These are really trying to kill the evil in the world. It's a very strange. Okay, there's obviously the different explanations on that, but there are letters that take. There are six letters that take one crown each. Bedek Chaya, Bet Dalet Kuf, Chet Yud Hey. Okay, I don't see anyone writing, so you're going to forget this for sure tomorrow. Okay. So there are seven letters that take three crowns each, and there are six letters that take one crown each. But in those days, it wasn't so simple. In those days. And the Rambam has a system of arbitrary letters. And that's what Rabbi Akiva really was writing about. How come some letters, today it's more uniform. These letters take, there's general rules why these letters take. Okay. So, but in those days, some letters did take crowns, some letters didn't take crowns. We have a different system today. They had a different system of crowns in those days. So that's what Rabbi Akiva was asking. How come these letters take crowns and those letters don't crash? Anyway, so you see, Nachum Ish Gamzu already said, listen, whatever you know, Gamzu L'Tova. You don't know what you know? You don't know anything? 40 years old, you don't know anything? Gamzu L'Tova, that's good. It's good? Yeah, it's good. Why? Because you're going to learn things that no one ever questioned these simple things. No one else questioned these simple things. So that was the art of reframing. Here, Nachum Ish Gamzu knows how to reframe. He knows how to make bad things into good things. That's very, very important. So one of the most important skills to master in our lives. It's how to change things from bad into good, to reframe them and to make them into good things. So, the quality of a person's life is the quality of how we reframe. The quality of our lives is based on how we reframe. If we reframe things in a very positive way, the quality of our life is going to be very positive. Reframe way of things. We explain things to ourselves. Reframing is explaining things to ourselves. How do we think of certain things going on in our lives? So we say it's bad, everything's bad, this is bad. Obviously, what we're going to think about? What we think about is bad things, negative things. Instead of thinking of positive things, we're thinking of negative things. But a person who's a master of reframing, you can make everything good. And that's a very important technique to use for happiness, is this reframing in our minds, turning bad things into good things, positive things. So let us try and define the word reframing. Events, situations, occurrences in themselves, they don't make us unhappy. What they do is we, in our minds, have to interpret them. It's how we interpret the events that makes us unhappy. It's not the event itself that makes us happy. It's very interesting. A person thinks, you know, this is a bad event happened, I'm very unhappy. But why? Because you interpreted it as a bad event, and you took it as a bad event, and then you are making yourself unhappy because you're interpreting it as a bad event. Amazing.
Rabbi?
Yes?
The idea of dreams and how dreams could be interpreted one way versus the other.
Exactly, 100%. 100%. And the Gemara says a very interesting point. It says there was a dream explainer in Jewish line. And two rabbis would go to that same person for explanation of their dreams. One rabbi had money, Abaye, he would pay him. And Rava never had money, he would not pay him. So Abaye got the good explanations. And Rava got the bad explanations all the time. He gave really bad explanations all the time. And whatever he told him came true. Until finally in the yeshiva, this is actually in the ninth chapter of Brachot, talks about dreams. It's amazing. amazing Gemara. This is probably where Freud got all his information from, of the subconscious, and amazing because it talks about what a person thinks about during the day really affects a person at night and makes a person dream at night. So that's very interesting. So then the Gemara says the dream follows the interpretation. What does that mean? That means it's psychosomatic, basically. The way we explain our dreams, and therefore, a person has a bad dream. What do you do when you have a bad dream? So in Jewish law, what does a person do? Number one is there's a tefillah for a bad dream. Number two is you can go to three friends. It's interesting. It's called hatavat chalom.
Yeah.
You go to three friends, you tell them the dream. And the formula is, the dream you dreamt was a good dream, the dream you dreamt was a good dream, the dream you dreamt was a good dream. Hashem will look after you, and it'll be a good dream, and everything will work out nicely. And this way, the person says, oh, three people told me it's going to be a good dream. I'm happy. And psychosomatically, it will work as being happy. So the third level of a dream is it's called Tanit Halom. A person really is affected by the dream. They should fast. And it says fasting for a dream can ruin the power of that dream. So a person fasts, that's teshuvah. And even on Shabbat, a person is allowed to fast for a bad dream, which you're not allowed to fast on Shabbat, except for Yom Kippur. But over here, for a bad dream, a person is allowed to fast on Shabbat. Obviously, today, we're not so superstitious, we're not so into our dreams. But in those days, the people would fast, and then they have to fast another day because they fasted on Shabbat. They have to atone for it. So it's a two-day fast, basically. But a person really can't sleep, and they're really upset on Shabbat. They could fast for a dream. But so we have to find out what do dreams mean. But usually the Gemara says 90% of dreams are garbage. 90% of dreams go by water. There's no dream, it says. There's just like you cannot make wheat without chaff. There's no dream without garbage. And most of the dream is garbage, based on what we think about during the day. Suppose we've got to think, is this dream coming from what I'm thinking about during the day? Or is this dream coming from somewhere else? And usually if it's a true dream, it just gets repeated over and over again. The person gets the same dream, or a similar message, like Paro did. You got a similar message, you know, different dreams. Then, okay. But a person's got to know that even bad dreams... interesting, the Gemara says they don't show good people good dreams. They show bad people good dreams, and they show good people bad dreams. Huh? That's what the Gemara says. Why? Because the bad people, Hashem says, I don't want them to do tshuva. I'm going to wake them up. But the good people, Hashem wants them to do tshuva. So it's usually bad things happen to good people. Why? Hashem wants to get good people to make them better. But the bad people, Hashem doesn't. That's it. So it's interesting. A person's got to be of certain merit to be able to get these kind of visions, these kind of dreams. Because it needs a kind of merit. We see Paro did have that merit. Interesting. Paro had a merit to Hashem communicate with Paro. But it was for the sake of Yosef. To get Yosef out of jail and to make him to, amazing. But Hashem's communicating dreams to Paro. And sometimes Hashem does apparently communicate to the leaders of the generation. Hashem wants certain things to happen in okay. So the leaders of the generation get extra communication. Anyway. Let's go back to our point. The point is that the events themselves, by themselves, do not make a person happy or unhappy. It's how we interpret the event. It's sometimes a very happy event. A person gets very insulted in an event. You're invited to a wedding and they say, how come he didn't put me here, he didn't put me here? And a person's reframing in his mind to make something nice into something bad. It's a terrible thing. It's a negative attitude in life. A person can have something good could happen to a person can reframe it to something bad, and a person can have something bad happen to them, and they can take it as something good. So it's how we interpret the events. It's our personal subjective valuation that create the emotional reaction. That's exactly what we're talking about. What creates? Who decides on what your reaction is going to be to the event?
You do.
We do. So that's it. That's exactly the point. We evaluate. We reframe. So if we know how to reframe it in a positive way, we won't get unhappy. We'll be affected by it. And that was Nachum Mishra Gamzu, the expert, the art of reframing. Gamzu L'tova. Bad is good. Bad is good. Bad is good. There's no bad in this world. Even when things were bad happening to him, he viewed them as positive because he knew in the next world it's going to be better for him. So it's a very important skill to learn this skill to be happy. And it's very hard because sometimes people can get you nervous. Oh, listen, Donald, you're talking to the right person over here. I just had someone in my office on Friday. She drove me nuts. I've never been so crazy in my life.
That's because you're so good natured.
I know. But sometimes you get under your skin.
Can you speak up? I can't.
No, I don't want to speak up. Okay.
Rabbi, she made you positively nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. She made me negatively nuts, but I had to work on reframing it.
It was a positive nut.
Yeah. Well, thank God it doesn't happen every day. That's the only thing I can say. Baruch Hashem. So that's the good part. The good part doesn't happen every day, right? Sometimes you go
That's
crazy.
That's it. You have to look at
That's
it.
You have to look at it positively and see what can I learn from that experience. And a person's got to know how to control themselves and control their reactions. We have to learn how to control ourselves. That's the hard part. That's what a gibor is. Ezu gibor. What is a gibor? A gibor is a person who can conquer how they react. It's how we react. That's the main. So the events themselves, it's interesting. This is a very, very important point. Let's repeat the point. Repeat the point, and that is that it's not the event that can make a person happy or unhappy. It's how we interpret the event in our minds. What we read into the event. It's our personal subjective valuation of that event that creates our emotional reaction. So if you reframe it and say it's neutral, you won't be affected. If you say it's positive, you'll be affected positively. If you say it's negative, you're going to be affected negatively. It's how we explain it to ourselves. So a person says, you know, this is a negative event. This is a terrible negative event. A person will get frustrated. A person will get angry. It's very hard. It's how we are talking to ourselves. Listen, I'm in classroom situations. You have to react instantaneously. You're a teacher. You have to react instantaneously. And you're talking to yourself all the time. How do I handle the situation? How do I not let the situation get to me, personally? How do I not ruin my self-esteem? Sometimes these kids can ruin their self-esteem. I've seen teachers who burnt out. Their self-esteem is gone. They can't handle a class. So it's very, very critical how we talk to ourselves all the time. People's got to talk to themselves all the time, non-stop. And it's not just talking to oneself. People's got to just keep talking to God as well. If you have God on your side, you have someone to talk to all the time. It's amazing. It's such an amazing ability.
The nature of a person, though, some people look at things in a positive way.
Yes, of course.
And some people just, no matter how good.
You know, there's a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says, "There's a rasha v'tovlo, evil person who everything is doing is going well for him. Why is everything going well for him?" So there's a beautiful explanation. It says because he's a rasha. The Gemara says one of the reasons is rasha ben tzaddik. His father was a tzaddik. And therefore it's going well for him because he learned from his father how to handle situations. His father was always happy and generous. And the Rasha is good for him. Why? Because he learned the traits of his father. So he's enjoying life. So we have to learn these traits. Sometimes we learn the traits from our parents. So our parents are easygoing and they're happy people. So hopefully the child will learn the traits. Sometimes the parents are not so easygoing, not so happy. And the child is happy because he's now not in their house. So you can be happy. You can make yourself happy. A person's going to learn how to be happy. We have to learn how to be happy. So you have to learn, and one of the ways of doing it is by talking to ourselves positively. And the answer is, we have Hashem on your side. Hashem is a limitless source, Baruch Hashem. Hashem is not like us. We get worn out. We're limited. Hashem is unlimited. Can you imagine? Everyone in the world goes and bothers Hashem. It's hard to imagine. All the prayers are going up, and millions of billions of 7 billion people now. So 7 billion prayers, assuming everyone prays, going up to Hashem many times a day, and it's amazing. It's unlimited sources over here. Unlimited resources. Imagine, that's amazing. So, why not? You know, the first person to call Hashem a shepherd, who was the first person to call Hashem a shepherd? I'll give you a clue. It just happened yesterday. That's Parasha. Yaakov Avinu, obviously. Yesterday, Parasha. He was the first person to call Hashem a shepherd. Now, a shepherd is not a very good job, by the way. I don't know if you know. It's a horrible job. And then, that's right, exactly. That's what David HaMelech, the Gemara says, how can David HaMelech call in Psalm 23, say, Lord is my shepherd, Hashem ro'i lo yechsar, I will not lack anything. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? He just followed Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu calls Hashem ro'i oti, says he, Hashem ha-ro'i oti, the God who shepherded me in my life. Yaakov Avinu was a shepherd as well. He viewed God as a shepherd, which is a shepherd is a very bad job. Why? It's a 24-hour day, 24-7. There's no Shabbat for a shepherd. 24-7, he's in the fields. It's all by himself. And it's dangerous. You got wolves, you got lions, you got all sorts of animals coming after the sheep. It's not a good job for a Jewish boy. Even though, but if you want to grow spiritually, it's a very good job because there's no one else to talk to. There's only God, that's it. Oh, that's why our greats were all shepherds. Why? Because they grew through that experience. There's nothing else, there's no one else to help them. They're 24 hours a day, you're the sheep. There's nothing else to talk to. You're totally, completely reliant on God.
When you're a mother, you're like a shepherd.
Yeah, 100%.
Children.
Rabbi, leader, all shepherds. These all shepherds.
Like a shepherd.
But it's a
they
hard
don't
job.
They follow you, though. Huh? Usually sheep follow.
No, not all sheep follow.
You need the border collie with you.
That's why the shepherd has a... that's what Abel Melo says. Shiftecha mishantecha, hey my nachamuni, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So there's two things. So number one is the shepherd needs to whack the sheep sometimes. That's the rod. And the staff has got a crook at the end. It pulls the sheep. So you got to push and pull. Leading is pushing and pulling. You got to know who to push and who to pull. That's the problem. So we have to first push and pull ourselves. We have to work on ourselves. There's a very important trait, which is a person's got to try and learn, which is called equanimity. It's a big name, right? Equanimity. What does equanimity mean? To treat everything without getting excited.
Calm.
It's a very hard trait to learn, and it's a very, to get to the high levels of service of a guide, a person's got to learn equanimity, not to get excited, not to get flustered. Because when a person gets flustered, they lose track of what's really going on, the reality. So it's very important to learn equanimity. It's a very hard trait, and it's a very important trait. And I've seen it in use, and it's a very powerful trait. A person with equanimity can control a situation. A person loses it, cannot control a situation. So equanimity is very, very important. It's a very high trait to get to. And how does a person get to that trait? By the art of reframing. Talking to themselves constantly, this is not something that it's worth losing my cool over. I've got to try and keep cool. If I want to keep control of the situation, I've got to stay cool. So equanimity is a very, very important technique. And how we talk to ourselves is very, very important. So if you evaluate or reframe something as positive, you can even experience pleasure when everyone's experiencing pain. Can you imagine? Everyone else is experiencing pain, and you can experience pleasure. It's amazing. You can be in this. Look at Yosef HaTzadik. Why is he called? He's the only of our forefathers called a tzaddik. The Gemara says, where is it? Eruvin, I think it is. Calls him a tzaddik. There's a Gemara there. Just one Gemara in the whole Shas that calls Yosef a tzaddik. And we call him Yosef HaTzadik based on that Gemara. Why is he called a tzaddik? And the answer is, wherever he was, he made himself cheerful. It's amazing. Think about it. He got thrown in the pit, and he gets sold to the Egyptians, and he's all of a sudden he's in Potiphar's house. He's now the boss. He was striving. He was working hard in the jail. And the butler and the baker walk. He says, "What's going on? Why are you so sad today?" "What do you mean? I'm in jail. What do you mean I'm sad? What?" "Why are you sad? What do you mean? You're not sad, Joseph? Yosef, you're not sad? Why are you sad?" He reframed everything.
Amazing.
Because this is where Hashem wants me to be right now. I'm independent. What can I do? Hashem's the boss. I can't help it. And all his life, you say Hashem is the boss. When the brothers come after Yaakov dies, they say, forgive us. Daddy said to forgive us. It's all lies. They invented Shalom Bayit. You're allowed to tell a lie. He says, I don't bear any grudges. It's all Hashem. Hashem put me here. It wasn't you. You think it was you. You thought bad things. Hashem thought good things. He reframed everything. Brilliant. So we have to learn from Yosef how to stay positive all the time. Mm-hmm. Imagine you're in a jail, you're thrown away by your parents, by his brothers, and he's reframing everything in his head. It's all from God, and everything will be good. Everything will work out, and it did work out.
Things are for sure.
To a certain extent. We have to try our best. You have to do your hishtalut and everything else. You can't help it. You try your best, and that's it. What can we do?
Rabbi, yes. Bernard Shaw wrote that everything will turn out well in the end, and if it isn't well, it isn't the end yet.
I like that.
But not necessarily.
But
we're Jewish. We have to believe. We believe Mashiach will come. The end will be good.
You keep on going.
That's right. Exactly. And that's a very important point. You keep on going. You know, there's a mitzvah of the Torah, and we don't follow this mitzvah enough, is lifnei seva takum. Stand up for an elderly person. Why? For a non-Jew as well, it doesn't make a difference who. You should stand up for an elderly person. Why? Because they kept on going. You have to respect that quality of life, the fact that they kept on persevering. Another day, another day, another day, another day. Just fighting life. Life itself takes a toll on the person.
But God
interesting.
Gives you the ability to do it. There's young people who want to fight also. It doesn't work.
You want to fight?
Fight to every day. To
yes. But again, the elder you are, the more you survive, the bigger credit you get. The more credit you get. It's a mitzvah to live. V'chaybahem, that's what it says. You have to live. It's a mitzvah to live. To choose life. You know how hard it is sometimes. For a person to choose life. A person says, you know, I don't choose life. I would rather go. Have a guy now, he had a bone marrow transplant. Amazing. Fighter. He's a fighter to the end. Doesn't care. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be. He's doing a tremendous mitzvah. V'chaybahem. Every day he's choosing to live. Yes.
So what about a person winding up in a situation that appears to be bad as a result of his free will and his choices? So, it was Hashem's will for him to be in that seemingly negative situation, but it was also the result of his free choice.
Yes.
So then if you look at it that way, you could look at it as negative, like you made the wrong choice.
Yes, but the positive is hopefully the guy will learn his lesson. That's the positive. The positive has to come out of that. That's you see people, drug addicts, they go to the bottom. When they get to the bottom, then they realize they have to change. So the bottom, in a sense, was good for them. Without that bottom, they wouldn't change. You see them. So sometimes the bad is good itself. Sometimes they've got to wait. It's a wake-up call. And it's a very rough thing. Sometimes a person needs to get to that bottom to get to the top. But if they never get to the bottom, then they're always doing more and more and more. They get to the bottom. That's the best experience for them. That is going to turn them around, hopefully. Hopefully, because Rav Hashem, some people don't turn around. What can I tell you? Then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The way we do in life, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Hashem says, listen, I put before you today life and death. Choose life, Hashem says. Bachata b'chayim. You have to choose life. It's up to us to choose life. So what can I do? Hashem says, I gave you everything. Now you have to help yourself. You can't blame everything on God. It's not everything you can't blame on God. It's like people today blame their parents all the time. Mm-hmm. Wrong! What about you? You have free will. We can't blame God for everything.
Then who do you blame?
We have free choice.
That's a good question.
We have free choice. We have free choice.
That he controls the size.
He does, but we have free choice. He gave us free choice. So you blame God. Why do you give me free choice? So you want to be a robot? Okay, be a robot.
You have to blame yourself for your choices.
You have to try your best. Struggling. Do your own struggles. It's your way of thinking about something. Even that, Hashem, you're going to put a thought in your head. Who put the thought in your head? You put the thought in your head. You decided how to view the situation. It's not God putting that thought in your head. You are deciding how to view. You can view the situation as good. You can view the situation as bad. It's your own way of thinking about something. So even if other people evaluate something as positive, you can evaluate it as negative. And even if others evaluate it as something negative, you can evaluate it as something positive. So, Baruch Hashem, person's got to find a way to view things in a positive light. That's the trick. Yes?
Connection between happiness and strength.
Yes, there is. I think there is a connection.
Because there has to be a certain amount of foundation there for a person to have the strength to choose to be happy. And I always put things in context of practical in our everyday life. Right now, we have... it seems to be a tremendous... force that has taken hold of our society, where people seem to be very easily, very frail, very emotionally unstable.
100%. It's America.
You know, in California, there's kids rioting and looting and crying because the person they didn't like got into the presidency. But it all seems to come from this sort of feeling that vulnerability and being in your woundedness. is something that has taken hold of us, and from that place you can't be happy.
Well, let me tell you, Jewish people for thousands of years were persecuted terribly. Yeah. We're talking about 2,000 years of persecution, and yet on Shabbat they would never find people happier, which is wild. I mean, think about it. The Jews did not react by pillaging and by torturing and by thing. We reacted by with internal strength. The internal strength comes from God. So, person doesn't believe in God. That's it. Where's the internal strength coming from? Where does a person's strength come from? So we have to realize, without the outer source, people don't believe in God. That's the problem. Then they have no one to turn to. They just go crazy. They have nothing else to do. So we have to find, as Rimei Hashem, Osir Shemayim Varetz, we have a God who gives us strength. Can you imagine, for 2,000 years, the suffering of the person? We can't even imagine.
Rabbi,
we can't imagine what.
Reframing,
yes,
can also be years later.
100%. There's no limit to it.
It doesn't have to be right now. It
doesn't have to be right now.
You can take... and look at this.
The person's got to look back on their lives and say, listen, this was a bad thing happened to me, but you know what? Many years later, the person says, you know, put it in context.
Or look where it took me.
Look where it took me. 100%. It's amazing. The person lost their job. It's a very bad thing. You know, it's a very interesting. Thank God I did one mitzvah, maybe one in my life. This is one of the mitzvahs I did. I found someone a job. I was so happy. It's a miracle I found him a job. Someone just came to me and said, listen, we're looking for a person. Da-da-da-da-da. And then my brother calls me, his neighbor lost his job. I said, let's try and match the two. I'm not going to work. I never worked in my life. This thing never matched.
See that?
Match. Baruch Hashem. It's like, thank God.
Yeah, I did that a few years
but
ago.
It's,
the person still has that.
Baruch Hashem. I tell you, it's the biggest mitzvah you can do for someone.
The person is happy and the person is happy.
I tell you, that's it. That's a tremendous mitzvah you can do. And if you can do that for the shidduch, you make a person happy. Right. If you can do that, halavai, we can do that. Halavai would be so easy. It's a miracle. It just happens.
Yes.
generations. So it's a very big mitzvah. We have
in
to help.
In this particular case, I was very nervous because I'm friendly with both sides. So
yeah.
If it didn't work, I
that's right. You're a brave girl. Rachel, you get a medal. Hashem will give you a medal. I tell you, it's a big mitzvah. People don't realize how big a mitzvah it is.
It's now 3 years this person is still
but it's, it just shows. So it just shows that what? I mean, he lost his job, but he got in a better job. So it just shows Hashem closes. We have to, that's the way we have to look at it. Sometimes Hashem closes one door and the other door opens. Without that door closing, the other door will not open. And we're shy sometimes to close that door. Sometimes people are going to leave their job. It's not a good job for them. It's not doing them well. They should leave and find something better. But it takes a lot of guts to do that. It takes a lot of guts to do that. And that's where a person needs to have faith in God and take that challenge. It's a very big challenge. Okay. So, Rav Plitzkin says, when he was writing this chapter, a friend of his called to tell him he had a reframe to share with him. He was attending a lecture, and someone called out a few minor technical corrections. At first, he felt bad for the speaker, who might be annoyed with the interruptions. But then he reframed it. The speaker could feel good that the person was listening so carefully to everything the person said. Right? So in other words, if people are listening and they're asking questions, that's the speaker should say, wow, people listen to me, that's great. Mm-hmm. Most people don't listen, they don't ask questions, they don't listen. They're dreaming. But some people are asking questions, a person should be able to reframe and say it's positive, they're asking good questions, fantastic. So depending on a person's entire life history, look at this, you will either tend to be a positive reframer or a negative reframer. So you already have it, it's already in you. You have to talk about yourself. Person's going to think about themselves. Am I a positive reframer or am I a negative reframer? How do I interpret most events in my life or events that I see? Are they always something bad, 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 bad? Or do I frame them in a good sense? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. So people who had an early environment of positive reframing before always find it easier to be positive reframers. Depends on your upbringing. But if you grow up in an environment of negative reframes, it's never too late. It is never too late. While there's life, there's hope. It's never too late to learn to reframe positively. It's never too late to learn to reframe positively. A person's going to start. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've been through. A person can reframe things positively and learn how to do this. Okay, so it's a very, very important technique. And when you become an expert, you won't have to make an effort to do it. You'll just do it naturally. It'll come naturally. After you do it a few times, as Rambam says, everything today is habit. You do something three times, you form a habit already. So three times of positive reframing, Baruch Hashem. It comes to the Torah three times, comes to the Torah, comes to the Torah, and you actually think it. It comes to the Torah, it will turn out good. This will turn out good. A person can turn the bad into good by thinking the bad will turn into good. You know, right now there's a famous conference in Paris right now, all about Israel. There were 70 nations. I was happy with 70 nations. Then it became 72 nations joined this conference. Amazing, 72 nations in the world set aside time to discuss nothing but Israel. That's the only problem they have in the whole world. Just like anything else in the United Nations, it's always about Israel. Always Israel.
Was Israel part of it?
No, Israel's not going. Israel's not going to be part of it. So Israel knows what's on the books. It's all going to be anti-whatever. So it's interesting right now as we speak. So we have to positively reframe it. And say, listen, this is the last, the gig is up. Things are going to change now. For Israel. So I was going to think, what is good about this? How can I grow through this experience? Now, it may be something really bad, but a person can find growth through the experience. And that's good. A person's going to find the growth through that experience. How can I find a long-term benefit from what happened? This is a short-term thing. You know, stocks crashed 2008. So a lot of people took lessons from that. So it's a big lesson for people, right? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Hedge. You got to start diversifying. These things are going to wake people up. What character trait can this help me develop? But it's going to think, this happened to me. How can I develop my character trait? What can I do about it? Yes.
I think you also need to take into consideration who your friends are. And if they're negative and you're positive, they can just...
Well, sometimes you can't help that.
Yes. What you can do is change them. You can be more positive than their negativity and teach them to be positive. Just bring them to the class. Very simple.
Yeah, right. Right. That
is. Or teach very simple. Serenity
prayer. What has happened not so bad? Why is what happened not so bad? Why has it created possibilities how later events might turn this into something positive? Look at this. I'm telling you, the worst experience of my life, 1967. You're waiting over there, Israel's going to be swallowed up. they're going to throw the Jews into the sea. Throw the Jews into the sea. It turned into something most positive experience. Imagine, think about it. How Hashem changed everything around. Yeshua Hashem Keherifai. We as Jews believe the salvation of God can come in the twinkling of an eye. Something you gave up on. I just read a great story. There's a book. There's a Daily Emunah. Rabbi Asher. And you get an email every day.
Rabbi who?
Asher. David Asher. You get an email every day. A Daily Emunah. He gives you a daily story. So you send the story out. True story. True story. True story. Little story. The story is that this guy got engaged, and then the girl got very, very sick. And everyone wanted to tell him to break it off. Break it off. She's very sick. So he says, no, I like this girl. He went to the rabbi. The rabbi says, I want to go ahead. And the rabbi gave him bracha. She should be well, have many children. And what happened is he married her, and they had many children together. And then he himself had Parkinson's, and she looked after him.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So it's an amazing it story. Happens. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. We just see things in front of our very eyes, but we just don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. Yes?
There was a writer that did this type of thinking during the Holocaust, Viktor Frankl.
Yes, Viktor Frankl, yes. Unfortunately, no. Wasn't a good role model for us, but a very good person. Okay.
Wasn't a good role? Why not?
No, because... okay. How will I look at this thing in a year, 10 years, 50 years' time? What is hubris about this? How can I use this for spiritual enlightenment? How can I reframe this for someone else? What would an expert reframer say about this event? How would they be able to take this and turn it into something good? And the expert reframer must be Nachum Ishgamzu, the expert reframer. And Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had a different saying, which is brought down by the Shulchan Aruch as halakha. We have to say what Rabbi Akiva says. Kol ma de'avid rachmana letav avid. Whatever God does will be for the best. For the best. Whatever God does for the best, whatever God does for the best. Every Jew has to say this. This is part of the code of Jewish law. We have to learn to say this all the time. Whatever God does for the best. Whatever God does for the best. It's for the best. We just can't see the best. Okay, now we come to a very important idea, which is totally anti-American culture. You ready? Revolution. You ready? It means after you learn this, you're not going to the malls anymore. I'm just joking. I'm joking. I have exactly what I need. If whatever you have, Hashem gave you what you need right now. You have what you need, exactly what you need. The Torah master told a former student of his, I have exactly what I need. The student had seen his teacher for a number of years. If you look at the rabbis, the great rabbis, they live in, I don't know how they live, honestly. You see Rav Steinman, he's 103 years old, just came out of hospital. He lives in one room. His bed is there, his chair is there, his table is there, and his gemara is there. That's it. I have what I need. That's all I need. What I need. Rav Chaim Shkanievsky. What I need. A two-room apartment. And he raised the whole family. And he has what he needs. So a person has what they need. We have what we need. But the trouble is we want more. That's the only problem. We have what we need. We have to realize that. So a student who had not seen his teacher for a number of years visited him to seek advice on a complex matter. The student was financially successful. And was grateful to his teacher what he had taught him in the past. My dear teacher, my business is going well. I would like to repay you. Let me give you a check from a token of my gratitude. Now, which person is going to say, I don't want? And that's what they say all the time. I don't need it. My beloved student, I see you sincerely want to give me a large amount of money, but I truly have what I need. So the Chazon Ish wanted to build him a house. Sorry, I don't take gifts from anyone. Go build your house. No, I'll rent it from you. Paid rent to the dying day. So, my beloved student, he says, I have whatever I need. But look how few amenities you have in your house. Everything you have is old. Please take this check. I have enough money to retire. It would give me great pleasure to help you out. But I don't need to help you be helped out. I don't need it. I don't want it. I have whatever I need. I have everything. So, that's a high, very high spiritual level. Not everyone can reach that spiritual level. We have what we need. We have tons of stuff we don't need. We have more than what we need. That's what we have to think about all the time. I have much more than what I need. I have much more. We always think about what I need next. But I have much more than we need. Most of us have already what we have. We have Allah, Baruch Hashem, thank God a million times. There are people who are, unfortunately, on the breadline. And I get to see them very often. And they need food. They need things. And those people we have to help. But a person's got to think about themselves and say, listen, if I have enough, I have enough. What is enough? That's the question. What is enough? Everyone has to decide So the spiritual awareness of what you have, that's a very important, that's a foundation for happiness already. A person's going to think about, I have this and this and this. I have so much to be happy for. And that's what we're not thinking about enough. I have so much to be happy for. But then to say the highest level is to say, I have nothing that I don't need. I have nothing. I don't need anything. To get to that level to say, a person says, I have everything I need. I don't need anything else. So spiritual awareness that you have what you need is a foundation of happiness. You may feel you need more and have a right to put the effort to try and acquire what you wish. But before, during, and after your efforts, realize that whatever you have is exactly what you need. What you truly need more to fill your life mission, you'll get it. In other words, whenever we need more to fill our mission, Hashem will give it to us. So now the question is, what is your mission and how big do you want your mission to be? That's your decision. If you want your decision, listen, I have to make that decision all the time. No one's pushing me, I'm pushing. You have to push. The leader of the community has to be a pusher, otherwise nothing's going to happen. Very simple. And if you want to make a bigger commitment, it's just going to take a toll out of you personally. That's a problem. But Hashem will give. There's no question about it. You can start an institution, and suddenly the money will come from somewhere. I don't know how it works. But the more you have in terms of your goals, the more you need, Hashem will provide it somehow. Yes?
So it's Hashem's will. Everything, whatever happens is Hashem's will. 100%. So if somebody is living very poorly and, you know, has hardly anything, but he experiences somebody coming to him, like a student, and asking that person wants to give to him. So that's from Hashem.
Yes.
So we're not supposed to deprive ourselves.
What do you mean?
Well, it's up to you to decide
how you live your life. What do you mean?
No, if it's coming through Hashem.
But the rabbi didn't feel he's depriving himself.
No.
I don't know.
But it was Hashem's will that he had this offer.
Okay, so he got the offer. That was a test. It's a test. Some things happen as a test. So the question is, are you going to take it, the test, or not?
But
he says, listen, on my level.
Failed the test if he took it?
It depends. It depends what he's trying to achieve in life. If I'm trying to achieve in life, is it my spiritual. I feel my physical welfare is looked after. I'm trying to grow spiritually now. Is this going to be a distraction to my spiritual growth? And sometimes a lot of it is. And that's the trouble. Wealth is a big distraction to spiritual growth. You have to think about this and think about that. Marbe nechasim, marbe daga. It's so true. More property, the more troubles, the more worries.
You said that God takes care of everything. God takes care of everything. If you want something, you pray and you get it. That's what you
know.
Yes, 100%.
But then you just said it's God's will and you don't always get it.
It depends what you need. A person gets what they need. That's the question. That's what I say. A person gets what they need to perfect themselves. And this, now, let's just put everything in context because it's a very deep philosophical question. I talked about yesterday a little bit about this, and it's good to repeat a few times. And that is, the most important investment you can make in your life is who you leave behind. What you leave. Is what you leave behind and who you leave behind and what they're going to do after you're gone. That's the most important decision we make in our lives, which we don't even think about, is what the next generation is going to be up to when we're gone. That's the most important thing that we have to leave in our lives. And it's very critical that these are good. We leave good ripples in the ripple tank. Right now we're just leaving ripples. We're creating ripples in the ripple tank. This is a ripple tank. This world's a ripple tank. If you create as many good ripples as you can, and hopefully these ripples will just keep on going because they'll have effects on others, and others will just keep on going, the ripples will keep on going. So that's what Hashem wants us to see. And then you get credit in the next world for all the good ripples you did in this world. The ripples just keep on going. It's amazing. And that's our main mission. Our main mission is to leave as many good ripples as we can. So now everything else is all helping us in that mission, that's all. A person has money, it's meant to help them in that mission to leave good ripples. A person has money but they're not leaving good ripples, the money's worthless. Didn't help them. So that's it. A person has energy and they have capabilities. All those capabilities and energies are given to us for good ripples. We have to create the good ripples in the tank. That's really the key. That's the key. That's our mission. Our mission is to make this world a better place and to make sure that keeps on going. And how do we do that? The answer is by creating a new generation with the same values. That's why Yaakov Avinu is so happy. The happiest man in the world, and Yaakov Avinu was it when he was in his deathbed. The first person to say Baruch Shem Kevod Malchut Le'olam V'Ed was Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because when all his children said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he said Baruch Shem Kevod. Now I can go in peace. Now I'm at peace because my children are bought into my value system. They bought into my continuity of my values, and continuity of my mission, and now I'm happy. And that's what made him happy. And that's the key. The key is to see that you did something. But you didn't just do it in a vacuum. It's going to be continued. What you start is going to be continued. That's the great part. That's the... So Moshe Rabbeinu was happy, at least. He had Yeshua to continue. He had a student, at least, who was going to take over. Without that continuity, it's just... We need that continuity. That's all we have to work on. The continuity. Number one is just do good as much as we can in the ripple tank. Each one has a different test. Each one has a different mission. Some people need money. Some people don't need money. Some people need more money. Some people have institutions. Some whatever. We have to work it out for ourselves. Hashem is not there giving us advice every second. Hashem gives us general guidelines through the Torah. And we have to work it out for ourselves. That's why Hashem gave us the brains. Right? Give us sechel. We need some sechel. We pray for every day. The first prayer we pray for in the Shemona Esrei, after all the introductions, the three introductions, is brains. We need brains. Hashem gives us brains to manage the system that you gave us. Just managing our own bodies and managing our own emotions and managing our own intellectual capabilities. We need brains to control everything. And that's the most important thing, is to have brains. And that's why we talked about, I think we talked about it last week, did we? If you missed it, you got to come back next Shabbat. Next Shabbat, every Shabbat, we have a class on Tanakh. We do Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest man alive. By the way, before everyone goes away, Wednesday night, we have a great class on the Rambam. Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Please come and bring your families, and it's open to men as well, for a change. And please come. There's going to be a movie as well. Very, very interesting movie. Rabbi Burial Wine made a movie.
What time is it?
8 o'clock Wednesday night. Please try and come. And we'll continue on Wednesday night. His life and his times and what he did for us. The Rambam left us till today. Every yeshiva in the world uses Rambam. Every yeshiva in the world learns Rambam. It's amazing.